Yes, I'm wearing a face mask because that is required here. And I've got my magic band. If you've been to Walt Disney World, you know that this is like a key fob to get you into the rooms, although this is a special NBA edition. And this is the room where I'm going to be quarantining for the next 7 days.
My little twin girls made me a sign to feel more at home. There's also this sign, and if you don't believe them, yeah, they have shrink wrapped the remote control.
They give you a stock of drinks. Again, here's your allotment for the week. And then dinner, well, yeah, that gets dropped off at your door in little bags.
All right, all unpacked. And I even got a shiny new green bracelet. You get one of these after they stick the first Q-tip up your nose. Yep, your first coronavirus test. They slap this on you and that is it. You are locked in for 7 days. Looking forward to being on here with all of you guys throughout. Now I just got to officially set up for the rest of the show. Give me a second.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols, who will join us in just a moment from Orlando. I'm here joined by champion teammates, Paul Pierce and Kendrick Perkins. And of course, man, we'll get right into a lot of stuff, including WNBA Rookie of the Year, Nafisa Collier, who will join us later in the show. But coming up, will the Lakers now be in trouble without guard Rajon Rondo, who broke his right thumb on Sunday? What do the Lakers need to do to adjust? But first, Russell Westbrook and James Harden have still not yet arrived in Orlando. Today, Russell Westbrook explained why he's still at home, posting on his Twitter, quote, "I tested positive for COVID-19 prior to my team's departure to Orlando. I'm currently feeling well, quarantined, and looking forward to rejoining my teammates when I'm cleared. First off, we're glad to hear, obviously, that Westbrook is doing well here, and we wish him a smooth recovery. But as we look at how this will impact the team, the Rockets are sixth in the West, but only 2 games out of the third spot, so the seeding could be significant for Houston. Paul, when does Russ's absence become an issue for the Rockets' playoff chances, in your opinion?
It won't be no issue unless they don't have him for the playoffs. I mean, right now they're jockeying for position. And in all fairness, it'd probably be best for them to try to jockey for a position to see the Denver Nuggets in the first round. So, you know, by not having them there, yeah, it hurts, you know, as far as having practice time, getting to know his teammates again, getting the continuity. But you got to understand the Rockets' offense also. You know, they spread the court, go one-on-one. So, you know, they're not going to miss him for too long. You know, it's just the only thing that matters for Russell is getting back into game shape and being with his teammates.
Hopefully
he can recover in the next few weeks.
Paul, what would be the best matchup for them if you could size up a team that makes some sense for them? Because as you mentioned, Denver is the slot right now, but there could be some jockeying for positioning here over the next 8 games. Who would be the team you would want them to face?
I think Denver is the ideal matchup. I think they match up well with them. You know, with the backcourt of James Harden and Westbrook, I don't see anybody on Denver that could contain them. So I think that's the best ideal matchup for them if they can stay in that slot.
And what about Denver on the flip side of this with Jokic? I mean, we have the situation obviously with Westbrook, but what do you make of the situation, how they're going to have to deal with Jokic? Do you feel like that kind of evens the playing field a little bit between the two of them?
Well, yeah, but I expect them both to make a full recovery. So, but if they lose Jokic for a big amount of time, that can hurt them. I mean, he's everything for that team. He initiates the offense. They pretty much go through him with everything they do.
So, what do you make of Russ's season thus far, Paul?
Russ was starting to really establish himself in the Rockets' offense. I mean, in some cases, he was pretty much taking over the offense at some point. But, you know, he was having another MVP caliber season. He was looking like he was a great pairing to Harden. And he was starting to really come into his own in the offense and finding his way. So he's going to be a big part of whatever they do moving forward once he comes back, especially when, you know, Harden has those off nights. He has another guy that can equally carry them offensively.
Perk, let me ask you about Russ's season. What do you make of what Russ's contributions have been this season for the Rockets?
Listen, I knew something was up. I knew, I was wondering why Russ and James went down in the bubble. But now I figured it out. But listen, I want Russell Westbrook to get healthy. I want him to return to the bubble and be a dominant force that we all know him to be. But we all know this is serious. So we know not to take this lightly, that nobody is cannot catch this COVID disease. So we got to make sure we catch this very seriously. And I just hope that the Brody get well.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We want him to get well. And then, of course, you know, be able to contribute on the court. That's what we want here, certainly. One test is one too many, or one positive is one too many. Let's move on to Rajon Rondo, who's expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks after fracturing his right thumb in practice on Sunday, the team announced earlier today. 5 weeks from now is when the playoffs are supposed to start. So that timeline could mean missing a round or two even of the postseason. We've seen in the past how playoff Rondo shines this time of year. In fact, among the last 139 players to play at least 100 playoff games, Rondo is one of seven to increase his production in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals from the regular season. So, Perk, I'll start with you. How will the Lakers need to adjust without Rondo?
Ooh, that's a major blow. Listen, the Lakers without Rondo, that's hard, because Rondo got one thing that you can't teach, and that's a basketball IQ. I'm talking about one of the highest IQs in the game, if not the highest. But that's why it's called the next man up. When you're looking at a guy like Quinn Cook, who's a champion, you're looking at a guy like Deion Waiters, who's still in his prime, who can still deliver on both ends, who could create for himself and others. But then you got a guy who's a fan favorite in Alex Caruso. Every time this guy gets on the court, he affects it offensively and defensively. So I think the Lakers are deep enough, especially with adding JR. Bron is going to have to play more minutes. And then, you know, Anthony Davis, as versatile as he is, he could bring the ball up the floor. So now Frank Vogel is really going to have to go into his bag and lean on others and adjust.
Paul, let me ask you. Obviously, you, like Perk, played with Rondo on those championship Celtics teams. What do you make of the impact that he has on this team, and what they'll miss without him there? And what would you do if you're Frank Vogel now with those minutes?
Well, you know, Rondo had a great effect, especially with the second unit. You know, he was a guy who could come in, change the pace of the game. They played a little faster, actually, with Rondo in the second unit. And so now the adjustment is figuring out what style of play is the second unit going to come here and play. You know, they're going to be more half-court orientated because, you know, they don't have a guy who can push the pace. You know, you got half-court guys and Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith, you know, these guys aren't, you know, fast-paced ball handlers. And so, you know, they're going to change their style of play with the second unit. But long-term effects, they'll need them for deep in the playoffs. I think they have enough, you know, with LeBron and AD moving forward for the rest of the season, first and second round, and having Rondo come back to really when it counts.
And what do you do if you're Vogel? Like, do you give Caruso more minutes? Are you playing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? We already know they've lost Avery Bradley. How do you kind of manage some of those guys who were backups now having to kind of step up in bigger roles?
Well, yeah, they're going to step up in bigger roles in the regular season, maybe the first round. You're going to have to give these guys some minutes. But when playoffs come second round, you know, you're going to ask your stars to play more minutes. That means LeBron,
right,
AD, KCP. These guys are going to play heavy minutes. And so that's going to be the adjustment moving forward. You can get through the regular season, but when it comes down to the first, second round, these other guys' minutes are going to increase.
No doubt about it. Look, Rondo's loss is obviously key just from a leadership standpoint, too, certainly. But, you know, statistically, at least when LeBron is on the floor, Caruso has held his own. They're a net rating of 20.8 with Caruso and LeBron on the floor together. And they're a net rating, a positive of 8.1 when Rondo's on the floor together. And there's only a difference of about 10 minutes cumulative. So, you know, Caruso's held his own, but again, a bigger role. We'll be curious to see how that plays itself out as well. All right, coming up. The home of the Pistons for nearly 30 years is no more. We look back on some of the greatest plays ever from the Palace of Auburn Hills. Stay tuned to The Jump.
We are down to two teams. The championship game of the basketball tournament. Sideline Cancer takes on the Golden Eagles for $1 million, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN and the app. All right, guys, we now welcome in WNBA All-Star Rookie of the Year, Nafisa Collier. Welcome back to The Jump. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is an experience like no other, my friend. The entire WNBA entered the IMG Academy bubble in Bradenton, Florida last week. What is life like inside there?
I think it's actually kind of cool. It's like we're all back like at AAU or college or something. Being all together in a single team so close, it's definitely different. It's not what we expected from the season, but I think we're the best out of it.
It is different. There's no doubt about that. And you played in China this past winter, which is different in its own way. What was it like playing there while COVID-19 began to spread, especially there, but also overseas?
Yeah, so I was actually only there for 10 days. I was going for the second half of the season.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was there for 10 days and then it really started getting bad and I had to head out. And it's lucky I did because the day after I left, they quarantined my city. So it was a wild 10
Absolutely. We're glad you made it here into Florida with us. The Lynx posted yesterday a Zoom call that included you among several athletes and coaches discussing social injustice with the Minneapolis Police Department. This, of course, has been so key, the entire eyes of the country on the Minneapolis Police Department after the murder of George Floyd. What was that call like, and how are you moving forward in your approach to social issues?
It was great having that call, and the fact that they took time to talk to us, I thought it was important. Having the mayor and the police chief on that call with us, answering questions and telling us that they acknowledge what happened was wrong, that they acknowledge that steps need to be taken so that never happens again, that they are doing different kinds of reforms and things like that. It's really nice to see that in the city that we play for, that we love, big changes are happening and that they understand that what happened, it wasn't okay and it could never happen again if they have anything to say about it. So it was really nice to be on that call with them.
I bet. Just hearing that out loud makes such a difference. And, of course, a lot more work to be done. Nafisa, you had such an amazing start to your rookie year. All-Star, Rookie of the Year. What are your goals this year? How are you going to follow that up this summer?
Thank you. I've just been, working hard in the offseason. Moving from the 4 to the 3 when I got to the league was kind of a challenge for me. And I want to make sure that was my support.
Well, basketball is one thing. Life is an entirely other thing. You got engaged 9 months ago. I don't even know how anyone tries to plan a wedding in the middle of a pandemic, a bubble, the WNBA season starting, trying to be active, asking for social justice. I mean, how are you managing your real life with your other life?
It is difficult, which is why we postponed it. It was supposed to be in November this year. And obviously, it's not going to happen in 2020. We're aiming for 2021. It's been really hard. And there's clearly more important things that are going on in the world right now. So, we're going to come back to that.
Well, I know a lot of people out there are in the same boat as you, having to make adjustments. We all are this season. Thanks so much for joining us down there. I'm in the bubble here up in Orlando, so from one bubble to another. Thank you. We'll see you soon. We can't wait to watch you play.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And coming up, Kawhi is now in Orlando with a healthy Paul George and the Clippers. But after a long hiatus, can the superstar duo stay healthy long enough to win a championship? We will discuss. Plus, here's what The Jump recommends for today. This is amazing. Steve Kerr joins our friend Richard Jefferson on the latest edition of the Road Trippin' podcast. Shout out Allie Clifton, too. Here is Kerr about the idea of returning to the Bulls after winning the title in the summer of 98, maybe going for that 7th title. Take a listen.
Steve, would you have taken less money to stay? Or would you have stayed? MJ was like, we could have got these guys back. Would you have stayed?
I saw that and it was really funny because he said that at the very end of the
very, very end, yeah.
Yeah, and he said he specifically mentioned Judd Bushler, bear down.
Yeah, he bear down.
He goes, those guys would have stayed. He's like, Judd, Steve, they would have taken 1 year deals and stayed. Judd and I, neither one of us had ever made like big NBA money at that point. And that summer, we both got paid for the first time in our careers.
Yeah, you were gone.
I was gone.
Oh, there you go.
I went to the Spurs. He went to Detroit. We both bought our houses.
You bought that house you're living in right now.
Where I'm sitting, there's a pool on the other side of my computer. The Spurs paid for that pool.
Welcome back. I'm Rachel Nichols from the NBA Bubble in Orlando with Paul Pierce, Kendrick Perkins, and George Sedano back in L.A. He's going to rejoin us a little bit later. First, guys, the Palace of Auburn Hills, you know it well, home of the Pistons for nearly 30 years. Well, it was demolished over the weekend to make room for a new development. The arena was home to not only three Pistons championships, but so many memorable plays. Here are a few of the best from the Palace. Take a look.
Get a steal, you're gonna have to leave it from long range.
And Rasheed from long range.
Oh! Yes! 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 Oh! Yes! Yes! Sheed sticks it on glass as time runs out.
It has come in the last 5 minutes
with Billy Owens on the floor. McGrady blocked by Ben Wallace.
Woo! Get out of the air.
That might be his best block of the season.
Eat it up, Ben.
You're right, Fred. I mean, he keeps this thing in bounds. He controls it.
Hill. Oh, a facial. What a move by Grant Hill. Well, after the slow start, 1 of 7 from the field, but has put on a show. He's gone to the drive. And a timeout called.
One more pressure when you're playing at home.
Oh, McGrady just blew past Robinson and then slashed to the rack. Are you kidding me? LeBron says, wait a minute.
Man, that dunk was ridiculous. You know, his athletic ability is beyond wondrous. And
Maxiel defending on James. LeBron with the stop. LeBron stops. 89-88, Cleveland.
Stoudemire perhaps not ready for it. Hamilton, great pass down court from Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson with a bounce pass that covered over 50 feet. How about this in transition?
Pistons need a three and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
Prince on Ginobili, Hunter on Parker. Here's Ginobili.
Oh, they to Ori for three. Oh, my.
Unbelievable. This guy is off the charts. The old story, the most dangerous guy is the guy out of bounds.
Isaiah.
Oh. In your face.
The bounce pass up top above the basket.
In your face, baby.
40 seconds to play.
Knocked away. Here come the Pistons. Here comes Hunter.
Buckle up! Oh! Oh, baby, what a play by Grant Hill! That was sensational!
Oh, my goodness gracious.
This place is rocking!
So good. So many great plays and moments. I can hear the announcer, John Mason's voice, ringing in my ear as I watch all that. Mm-hmm. Kirk, what would you say your favorite moment inside the Palace of Auburn Hills is?
Oh, hey, Rachel, listen, when I think of the Palace, I get chills because nothing was friendly about the Palace. It was a hostile environment, a horrible place to play in. When I talk about, and by the way, they had the worst visitors locker room in the league. They treated you bad as soon as you got off the bus. But oh man, in the league, it was so small and just It was the coaches and players
all, like
you know,
big.
In one area.
Like
it was just
a tiny little baby
worst.
Locker room.
Yes, it was. But I tell you what, the most memorable moment that I had was game six in 2008 when we closed them out in the Eastern Conference Finals on the road to head to the finals. I can remember that like yesterday. It was a big win for us in a hostile environment, and we did not want to see that Detroit Pistons team game seven. So that game six, I remember it like yesterday.
Hey, Big Perk, I gotta say the same thing, man. Hey, I'm glad you brought up that locker room. That probably was the worst visiting locker room in the league, despite the conditions, the crowd, Tommy Hearns in the front row. That was a difficult place to play in. For us to go into a building, listen, man, we went into a building where it was tough to beat the Pistons in their home court. And so when we did that right. in game six to go to the finals, by far my most memorable moment.
Yeah, that was so huge. Paul, I remember you talking plenty of that talk on the court after you guys won that one. And it wasn't just sort of that, hey, Detroit's a tough city. They had that sellout streak, remember, too? So it wasn't just the playoffs. It was yes. on, like, day two of the regular season. In the preseason, that building was packed all the time. Those fans showed
all
up.
The time.
So not everyone's favorite building in the league because it was a little bit far out there, and I think they're doing better having something closer to downtown, but still salute to the Palace at Auburn Hills. It was real.
Yes.
All right, I want to switch gears back here in Orlando. More players have weighed in on whether they are going to wear social justice messages on their jerseys for the restart. Giannis is going to wear the word equality, while Joel Embiid, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis all will stay with just using their own names. And here are LeBron and AD explaining their decision.
No disrespect to the list that was handed out to all the players. I commend anyone that decides to put something on the back of their jersey. You know, it's just something that didn't really, you know, seriously resonate with my mission, with my goal. I would have loved to have a say-so on what would have went on the back of my jersey. I had a couple things in mind, but I wasn't a part of that process, which is okay. I don't need to have something on the back of my jersey for people to understand my mission or know what I'm about and what I'm here to do.
My last name is something that is very important to me, and also social injustice as well, but just holding my family name and representing the name on the back, you know, we'll have a ton of ways to kind of represent, you know, what we stand for.
So Perk, what do you think of that?
Well, listen, Rachel, I agree with both of them. And what people have to realize is that the NBA is a job, and I get it, right? But why do we have to tie what's going on in America to the basketball so much? If guys want to do it, it should just be a bonus. And here's the problem that I have with not only just the NBA, but our world in general, right? Everything that we're going through for us, you know, Black Lives Matter and social injustice, everything to that nature. If people, if I don't do something the way that a certain person expect me or want them to do it, far as, you know, preaching out about, you know, different situations that's going on, then they get mad at me or they say, oh, Perk, you're not a real one. Why? Because I'm not doing it your way. That don't mean I'm not fighting the same fight as you. Yes, do I want justice for Breonna Taylor? Yes, I do. Do I want racism to stop? Hell yeah, I want it to stop. Do I want change in America? Yes. But just because you don't go about it the way another group of people or a certain person do it, that doesn't mean that you're not fighting the same fight. And here it is. All it do is cause division and divide us when we should be coming together. To me, hold yourself accountable. Look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm going to control what I can control. I'm going to do my job and let the other person do their job. It's so much pointing the finger. You know what, Rachel? Some people like to drink Dasani water. Some drink Ozarka. I like to drink, I like to drink Fiji. That's just my preference. But we all in it for the same reason. Golly.
Everyone's thirsty, oh, man, Perk. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, man. No, listen, the players have a choice, and I don't think anybody is questioning LeBron's decision. He's done so much as far as being a voice on social inequality over the years, you know, not just this year. And so I truly understand what he's saying, and not being able to have a choice on what he wants to put out on the back of his jersey when there was a list of names of quotes or anything he wanted to put on your jersey. So I respect LeBron in that aspect. You know, I think he's done enough, and he's going to continue to do more as far as his walk on the social injustice issues. And so I have no problem with either one of them.
I mean, look, to me, it's not really important who does what, or even it's not that important who picks which message if they do decide to do it. What was important to me was that the NBA and the Players Union decided that this could be possible. That was the key decision.
Yes.
The key decision was that the NBA as a league, that the players as a group were standing up and saying, in this place, Black Lives Matter. In this place, equality is important. In this place, being anti-racist is important. All of those kinds of things, it means so much just that that space is available, just that that is available to people, whether they choose to use it or not, because we have seen so many people in this country have a problem just saying the very low bar, the lowest possible baseline of saying out loud, Black Lives Matter. It is not a political issue. It is unconscionable to me that people don't understand that. And the fact that the NBA has created a place where this is on the court, this is on people's jerseys, if they want it, that is the key decision. It's not, to me, matter so much which players say which thing. The decision was already made, and it shows where the NBA and the players stand. There you go.
Rachel,
all right, guys, coming up,
Rachel,
the Clippers are getting the jumps previously
Rachel,
on 3 minutes. We're going to catch you
water.
Up with them after the break. First, though, here's our distant replay from this date in 2004.
Well timed, Tony Allen with the block. Simon didn't get back. Allen, showtime. Celtics blowing it wide open. The defense sets up the offense.
What do you think of these rookies tonight, particularly Al Jefferson?
Oh, yeah, they're showing a lot of promise. Al Jefferson is showing a lot of skill around the basket. Tony Allen, all these guys, they're really playing well tonight. I'm pretty impressed.
What's poppin'? Brand new, just hopped in. I got options.
Welcome back to The Jump. UFC Fight Night back on the Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Prelims start at 7 Eastern, ESPN, Deportes, and the app. All right, guys, it's been a long time since we had any basketball, so The Jump is doing what we can to catch you up on what's been going on, kind of like when your favorite TV show comes back from hiatus and gives you that little previously on. Well, yeah, we got that, too. It's time for Previously On, L.A. Clippers edition.
I'm just fired up to be here today.
The Clippers with a huge win.
PG actually looked properly dressed for the Broadway show that Kawhi had started to put on.
There's been so much value put on being the best team in LA.
And we can possibly hear boos at our own parade. I want to win it for that experience.
That's real talk for me.
Woo, Pat Bev. Well, here's how he ended the game as he watched Warriors fans flood the exits. I mean, the absolute dedication he shows. Watch the slow-mo.
You
can't teach this kind of commitment. You cannot.
That's floppy.
sort of. Kawhi Leonard out tonight against the Bucks.
I believe the league has a long-term problem. Kawhi not playing is ridiculous at this point.
And we got our butt kicked, and we deserve to.
They don't have Kawhi and Paul George in a game together with any kind of consistency.
Look at that. One, two.
Nope. One, two, three, four,
Who needs
five.
Rules? Why do we have rules? Who cares?
Kawhi Leonard!
Oh, that's just, I mean, he's so aggressive.
Whew. This is the best version of Kawhi,
yes.
Just because of his ability to create for others.
Let's talk about Paul George. Really effective. Ooh. Man.
Pat Bev, PG, and Kawhi Leonard can all be first team all defenses.
First team all defense. It's a deep team.
Yeah.
Who will? Just Kawhi and the Kawhiettes.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Wow.
Woo. That was a lot happening there. All right, the gang is all back, and here we've got Paul Pierce, George Sedano, Kendrick Perkins. And guys, I want to start here with you, Paul. Let's talk a little bit about Kawhi Leonard. As you know, he missed some games before the break, 13 of them. And Paul George missed 22 games. Paul told reporters this weekend, quote, I feel great again. So Paul, given all of that, do you trust the health of the Clippers superstar duo down the stretch here?
Yeah, I do, Rachel. I mean, they've had a whole off season. I mean, during this pandemic to get their bodies right, to get their minds right, to be ready for this moment. And so moving forward, I don't know if I'd have had confidence if we had a regular season that didn't have any stoppage, but now that they've had this rest, the time to heal their minds, their bodies, they should be considered the favorite with these two guys being healthy.
Rachel, to Paul's point, I think that the layoff in this ridiculous, insane situation that we're all dealing with, I think if there's any team that benefits the most from it, it's the Clippers. Because Paul George had those hamstring issues, because Kawhi is going to constantly be dealing with his injury issues. And let's face it, if you look at this group, these two guys together and Pat Beverly, and I know that I'm kind of extrapolating just one other guy, but those three guys together have only lost a handful of games this season, and they've played over 30 together. That's pretty good. But they've also had some issues that have been reported about chemistry, right? About some of the old guard Clippers not loving the way that Kawhi and Paul have been integrated into the team. So I think that Doc Rivers alluded to this from a health perspective, but I also think that the time off and a restart and a new training camp will help them with their chemistry both on and off the floor.
Listen, one thing I will not do is ever question Kawhi, Jordan, Leonard, right? We talking about a two-time finals MVP, a guy that has proven to be a Batman. So he would never get a question mark by his name when it comes down from my standpoint. But when we talk about Paul George, can Paul George be that certified Robin that you need to win the championship? And I don't know, because let's not act like PG doesn't have a history of not showing up in the playoffs. I mean, he is a stud, don't get me wrong. But look, just 2 years ago when PG was healthy, I remember in the game 6 against the Utah Jazz, in a closeout game when the Thunder needed it desperately, where Russell Westbrook went in there and dropped 46, Paul George shot 2 for 16 from the field with 5 points. And you look at Kawhi Leonard, he needs that Robin. Even going back to the Toronto last year when they won the championship, Kawhi didn't have a great game in game 1 of that series. Pascal Siakam did. He had 32 points. He proved to be a certified Robin. And if Paul George is healthy and he could be consistent in the playoffs, then yes, the Clippers are a favorite to win the title. Because guess what? They have a great coaching staff in Doc Rivers and Ty Lue and Sam Cassell. And yes, I'm being a homer and being biased because that's my Celtics family. But they also have the role pieces. So they have Lou Will. They have Montrezl Harrell. They have the Morris twin. They added Reggie Jackson. So just like the Lakers, the Clippers have no excuse. By the way, can we stop ignoring those two former MVPs in their prime that's down here in Houston, Texas, the Brodies, because they got something to say also.
Well, we need to get both of those guys back on the court. That is another issue. I know you guys talked about that earlier in the show. I do think Paul George, to your point, Perk, is a better fit with Kawhi Leonard maybe than some of the other guys he's played with. And I liked, George, what you said about chemistry. I think that's been overlooked a little bit with the Clippers this season. There was some of that roughness that we saw in the spring. In a way, they've benefited that this restart is almost like a second entire season. They're getting the benefit of having felt that feeling of having an entire season under your belt and then having an offseason and then going have the gang back together. So maybe chemistry that felt like, first year jitters, that kind of thing, wasn't really working, everyone meshing. Maybe now it'll feel like that second time around off to the routine, even though it's still technically the same old season. I do want to talk Clippers-Lakers, though, guys, because the Clippers joined the Bucks and Lakers as the teams with the highest odds to win the title, according to Caesars Sportsbook. BPI says the Clippers have a 31% chance to meet the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. So, George, advantage Clippers or Lakers in a potential 7-game series? Who you got?
Rachel, I'm still going to go with the Lakers because ultimately I don't see, for as deep as the Clippers are, I don't see a matchup for Anthony Davis. We know what LeBron James is going to bring to the table in the playoffs. Anthony Davis has put up some big numbers in the postseason, but he hasn't had the postseason success. He's going to need to be a monster, and I think this is his chance to prove that. As good as the Clippers are, Montrezl Harrell is a good player. I don't look at him as a guy who can defend Anthony Davis. I know they added Joakim Noah to the mix. They have Ivica Zubac. But none of those guys can hang with Anthony Davis. And I think he's the key to the Lakers winning a championship.
Hey, listen, I'm right there with you, George. I got to give it to the Lakers, Rachel. They have the most championship experience in the league. And by the way, when you look at Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard, when those two guys are on the court together, they remind me of KG and Kendrick Perkins. Paul, you could tell them a defensive front line that nobody want to see. When I'm talking about them two guys on the court together, they anchors the defense. And then you add a J.R. Smith and Danny Green on the court with LeBron James and Anthony Davis together, gives them more spacing. The lane is going to be wide open. And LeBron James is on a mission. He's on a mission. He knows that his window for winning a championship is getting small. He's in year 17, and he's going to take full advantage of this year's championship or trying to win this title. So I'm looking at AD, and I'm looking at how he was playing at 60% before the pandemic and putting up 40-piece wing dinners in three quarters. And now he tells me that he's 100%. He's 100%. The defensive player of the year that's going to be 2020 is 100%. I'm rolling with the Lakers.
You guys need to, George Perkins, y'all need to slow down a bit. I mean, y'all said one name, Anthony Davis. Yeah, he may be a matchup problem for the Clippers, but what about on the other side of the ball? Who's going to match up with Paul George? LeBron? Okay, let's just say LeBron does match up with Paul George and phases him out. Who has Kawhi Leonard? Who's going to match up with Lou Williams? I mean, they just got so many pieces that can hurt the Lakers. You know, you got three or four guys that can get 30 points on any given night, and you guys are talking about one matchup. AD is a matchup problem for everybody in the league. Okay, AD, you can go out there and get your 30, 40. LeBron, go ahead. But the Clippers are too deep, too well coached, too much versatility for the Lakers, a healthy Lakers, healthy Clippers team. But besides the fact they're missing Avery Bradley, they're going to miss Rondo for some period of time. Vantage goes to the Clippers, guys. Come on now. What's wrong with y'all?
No, I ain't rolling with
that. I'm just happy, guys, that after talking about this potential Western Conference Finals matchup since basically this past summer, we are actually close enough to basketball. It could potentially happen, maybe, in the real world. Who knows? All right, what will happen in the real world? Coming up, between live DJs, fishing, cornhole, beer chugging, all the events in the bubble, which hypothetical reality TV show would interest you the most? Oh, yes! Find out next on The Jump. Just another reminder, TBT Finals are tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern, $1 million. You know what else TBT stands for? Oh, yes, Toby and Bobby time, as our favorite best friend pair are back at it again in Orlando. Take a look.
No.
Put your phone down. I don't like you no more.
Hello, guys. Go find Toby.
Nah. You got new friends. Look at this man hanging out with Luke.
So amazing. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Luka Doncic, speaking of him, just breaking out all the trick shots at the Mavericks' return to practice over the weekend. So, Paul, you participated in our horse challenge a couple months ago. How many letters do you think you could get off Luka Doncic in a game of horse?
Oh, my goodness.
Shoot or shoot, Paul. Tell me the truth.
Listen, I got one letter off on Zach LaVine. And the way I'm watching Luka, some of the shots he's made in-game, let alone this little soccer trick shot, I probably wouldn't get any letters on this guy. I would have to really get back into NBA shape to get a letter on this guy, and I'm not doing that no time soon.
All right, guys, Dwight Howard said he showed up to the NBA providing a DJ set on Saturday night, but no one else went. So we just kind of imagine what that might look like, guys. Dwight aside, there was some fun stuff going on in the bubble this weekend that people did attend. And by the way, shout out to Dwight, because he was very nice to the staff here in Orlando when he was the only one there. Look at these guys playing cornhole. That was the Thunder, the Sixers fishing. You got guys like J.J. Redick and Myers Leonard shotgunning beers, which is something I never could have predicted a week ago. George, if there is a bubble reality TV show, which of these would interest you the most?
Rachel, it's clearly shotgunning the beers. And if you look at the guys who are doing it, it's Myers Leonard, it's JJ Redick, who has the 10,000 retweets he asked for to do it on camera. You know what, Rachel? A marksman needs practice, and shotgunning will work.
I don't know, man. Paul, what about you?
I'm a fan of the fishing. I actually watch pro bass fishing, so I would love to see them get out on different boats, set different teams, and see who can catch the most fish out there. That'll excite me. I know that'll excite Perk, too. I know he likes to go out and fish, too.
Yeah, look, P, I'm with the fishing, but listen, over this pandemic, JJ Redick has become one of my favorite people in the world, right? He's one of the best followers on Twitter, and then him in the cold tub, chugging down the Bud Light, that's what he was drinking. That was everything to me. Look, I'm all for JJ Redick. If they started a TV show with JJ Redick, a reality show or whatever, I'm down with it. I'm Team Redick right now. I'm rolling with JJ.
There you go, Perk.
Well, Perk, JJ has a podcast, so you can at least look for that if you would like. I don't know if a fishing reality show is really going to be the fast-paced action that NBA players or NBA fans are expecting, Paul, but I do know after seeing Ben Simmons try to throw that fish back that we said that wasn't good, so he should not be part of your reality show. All right, I want to move on to the Rockets. One of their forwards unintentionally broke quarantine, making him subject to an extended quarantine period and enhanced COVID testing. According to league sources, Bruno Caboclo's time in quarantine is now down to 8 days. He expected to rejoin the team once his quarantine is complete. So basically what happened is he walked outside his hotel room when he was still in that lockdown part, the part that I'm in right now. He said he didn't realize he wasn't supposed to, but they definitely informed the guys they were not. So he has to do an extra 10 days and get that really serious up-the-nose test. What's your reaction there?
Rachel, the Rockets will not miss this guy. I mean, he's probably going to be on quarantine in the bench anyway when they start playing. So if this happens to a major star or a major role player, okay. But you got to expect this to happen to a lot of guys who really are not going to be a factor in this bubble and are going to be bored.
No, P, you got to follow the rules. He did not read the handbook. He didn't follow the guidelines. Kudos to the NBA for enforcing the rules and protecting guys' safety and making them follow the rules. It's just like me telling
them. They're not going to miss him.
Yeah, but it's a problem. He got to follow the rules for people's safety.
Rachel, Fran Fraschilla.
No, it's glad that this guy got made an example instead of someone else.
Rachel, Fran Fraschilla once said he was 2 years away from being 2 years away. Now he's 8 days away from being 8 days away.
There you go. All right, guys.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time. And I'll be here because I'm not allowed to leave. So there you go. Have a good day.